Lord, we just give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for just being a part of our lives, for having the patience to continue to work with us and to work through us. God, we just give you all the praise and the glory. Father, we love you and we give you praise. Bless this service this morning, God. Let the word just be anointed and touch and minister to our hearts and our lives. Stir us in praise to you, O God. Stir us in our hearts and our minds this morning, O God. We just give you praise. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the title of my message this morning is Make Satan Listen. Make Satan Listen to Your Praise. Make Satan Listen to Your Praise. Oh, yes. I really enjoyed that picture. I really did. Oh. We need to shout out to the Lord. Amen? Man. Oh, Lord, help me get this message across to us. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, all the devil heard from the lips of Jesus is, it is written, it is written, it is written. And then in Matthew 4:11, then the devil left him, the Bible says. This was Jesus' way. It is the most successful way of resisting the devil. It is written, it is written, it is written. I don't think we should, or let's not, try another way. I mean, oftentimes I think we try to come up with our own new way of trying to resist the devil. We do it in our own strength. We do it, you know, we try to do it on our own. We try to, Lord, I know you're busy up there. I can do this one on my own. But Jesus, as powerful as Jesus was and as anointed as Jesus was, he knew the secret to success in his life was, it is written. And to live according to the fact that it is written. And that he began to make his statements, it is written. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. What does it mean to submit? To give ourselves over, to submit to the Lord. It means to yield to the control of another. To surrender. To yield to the control of another. You know, as I was studying, I almost put in the verse, and now I'll mention it. I almost put in the verse in Ephesians, where it says, do not be drunk with wine that dissipates, but to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you look up the definition of that and study that out, the word that says, do not be given over to another spirit, and the word that says, be continually filled, are the same type of word. The words are to give yourself over to another. When, and I always like to tell people, when you go and you drink, when you drink, there's a reason why they call it spirits, you give yourself over to the spirit of alcohol when you're drinking. You give yourself over to the spirit of alcohol, which dissipates. In the morning, the alcohol has no effect. You give yourself over to the spirit in the evening, and you may say and do things that you wouldn't normally probably do if you were in your right mind, but you've given yourself over to a spirit of alcohol that causes you to do things that you shouldn't do. And the Bible says not to give yourself over to that spirit, but rather to give yourself over or submerge yourself. Be submersed. And I try to explain this. You know, there was a term that went around for a long time, several years ago, that being drunk in the spirit. And a lot of people were they were on either side of the fence. People really enjoyed the thought of that, being drunk in the spirit. And some people were really offended by the thought, well, I'm not going to be drunk. And really, that verse says to be that. That verse really says to be drunk in the spirit. In other words, because to be drunk means to give yourself over to another spirit, to yield yourself to the spirit of alcohol. Don't give yourself over to the spirit of alcohol, the Bible says, but give yourself over, be submerged, be immersed in the Spirit of God, to where the Spirit of God takes over in your life and begins to move and manifest itself in your life. And so to literally be drunk in the Spirit is scriptural. To be so immersed, so filled, so overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit that you actually start doing things according to the Word of God by the act of the Holy Spirit that you might not normally do on your own, because you're being led by the Holy Spirit to do great and mighty works beyond what you and I are able to do. So again, we see here, it is written. If it is written, it is something that should be happening in our lives. It is something that should be going on. And there are things that God says, don't let these things happen. And there are things that God says, let these things begin to happen in your life. There is just one way to resist the devil. And that is by steadfastly believing and acting on the Word of God. And that is the way to resist the devil. The fastest way to get the devil out of your life and the temptations of the enemy out of your life is to immerse yourself in the Word of God. I've said before, and I used to say it a lot. I haven't probably said it in a while, but I used to say, listen, sometimes you can come and get prayed for and get instantly delivered from things in your life. Sometimes the power of God just hits you and you're instantly delivered from things. And there are other times when you actually have to crowd that thing out. You have to shove it. You just have to put so much of the Word of God in your life that it just crowds whatever that thing is out of your life. That you so immersed yourself in the Word of God. You so found the promises of God. You so study them. They're so in your mind that you just shove out the depression. You just shove out the insecurity. You just shove out those things because you discover who you are in God. And those things push those things out. And that is the way that we resist the enemy. We put so much of God in that the devil has no place to get in. The trouble is that we leave footholds. We leave places where God can get in. Whenever we are affected by any other voice more than the voice of God, we have forsaken the Lord's way for our deliverance. Let me read that again, because I think this is one of those wow kind of things. Wow, that's kind of harsh. Whenever we are affected by any other voice more than the voice of God, we have forsaken the Lord's way for our deliverance. Are we His, or are we only submitted when it fits us? Is there a voice that can be louder than the voice of God in your life? Is there something, a temptation, a thing that comes along whose voice is louder than the voice of the Lord? Because if there is a voice, if there's any other voice that gets louder than the voice of the Lord that you hear, you are missing God's way of delivering you by His power. When we step outside of the Word of God, we are missing God's deliverance for our lives. We're missing the direction and the call of God in our lives, the purpose for God in our lives. When we step out and a voice gets louder than the voice of the Lord, than the voice of the Word of God. What is our reason for doubting, for not depending on God all the time? Is there an insecurity in our lives? Pat and I were just talking before the service, and I was thinking, as I mentioned it to him, I was thinking, are there abandonment issues in our lives where we feel like we have to get out first because somewhere in our lives, we have these abandonment issues, like people have always just left us and we've always felt abandoned and we feel abandoned. So what we do is we resist giving ourselves completely over to God for a fear that He might abandon us. Are there things that hold us back in our relationship with God because we're afraid to let God get all of us? Because we like to, when you have those kind of issues, you're, You always like to hold on to, oh no, I'm still strong. We have this stronghold that we won't let go. And I'm just wondering, what is it that causes us to doubt God and not depend on Him every moment of our lives and give ourselves over to Him? In the Garden of Eden, the enemy successfully voided God's testimony as a result to eating the forbidden fruit. So now the enemy seeks to void the God's testimony as to the result of believing the gospel. The devil hasn't changed. He's still about the same thing. After God said in Genesis 2, verse 17, "For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die," the serpent said in Genesis 4, 3, 4, "You will not surely die." Now when God's word plainly says in Mark 16, 15 through 18, and Jesus speaking, He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe." I always say, look, in the wake of what you do, is this kind of stuff happening? Because you may not be a believer if it's not. I'm not saying you should look back to see what's happening, but you should hear some testimonies echoing from the beachside of the wake of your life that some of these things are happening behind you as you go after Christ. We don't go after signs and wonders. We go after Christ, and these things that I'm about to read happen in the wake of our lives because of the testimony of our lives. These are not things we look back to see. These are things we just know are happening behind us because we're following after Christ. "These signs will follow the believer. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Every one of these things that's mentioned here, every single one of them, the devil has tried to tell you won't happen in your life. Well, you're not called to lay hands on the sick. No, you know, don't tempt God. Don't go out and look for snakes and see if you get bit. Well, yeah, don't go out and tempt God by drinking poison and looking for snakes. Absolutely not. But know this, you are divinely protected. That if a snake was to bite you, you'd be okay. That if you were to drink something deadly, you'd be okay. Well, Pastor, I don't know about that. Okay, then clearly you're not reading the red. For some reason, you're doubting God. What makes you doubt God? He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true. The same serpent from the garden seeks to persuade us that we are powerless in the plan of God to preach the gospel. You, every one of us. You know what's interesting to me? This doesn't say apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. This says believer. It says believer. If you're a believer, these signs should follow you. You should be preaching the gospel. You'll cast out demons. Well, you know, Pastor, I don't. Yes, you will. You will deliver people. You will go up to people that, why? Because the devil is afraid of the name of Jesus. You will cast out demons. You will speak with new tongues. Yes, you will. Don't let anybody tell you that speaking in tongues is wrong. Because God said you will. Oh, well, I don't know, Pastor. They say that those things have passed away. Hogwash. Show up Wednesday. I'll prove it to you. We're going to be talking about it Wednesday. I'll prove it to you. I can prove it to you in Scripture. But, Pastor, that, you know, I don't know. Well, what reason do you have to doubt God? What reason do we have to doubt Him? Should we not want everything that He has for us? Everything possible to be functioning in our lives? Why would we want to resist anything that God has to give praise and glory to Him? Anything He has to increase our lives. Why would we turn away from those things? Why would we resist those things? Because there's an enemy out there that's trying to persuade you that you are powerless, that you are not worthy, that you are not worthy to preach the gospel, to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues, to divinely be protected by the hand of God, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Is it rational for us to believe the father of lies in preference to the Son of God? Is it wise for us to believe the word of Satan more than it is to believe the word of God? As though Christ's words were of less consequence than those of the devil? As though what Christ said has less value? Whatever the devil says, it works. Whatever Christ says, it does. Well, it does, it doesn't. What? I mean, what are we thinking when we say to ourselves that the power of God is not greater than the enemy? That the word of Christ is not greater than the word of the enemy? What makes us think that God is not, God's word is not more powerful than anything? What makes us doubt God? The truth of God or the lie from the devil? Which is it? Which do we believe? When it comes to God for salvation, healing, or anything else, it is essential for each one of us to decide whether we will allow the hiss of the serpent to rise above the voice of the Lord. Whose voice will we let rise above the voice of the Lord? Whose voice are we going to listen to? Whose gestures are, when someone comes to speak to you and says, you're not good enough, or you are the child of God, you are not this, you are not, who are we going to listen to? When you're standing in that grocery line and God says, speak to the person in front of you, and you say, and then you go, God, is this really you? And then you hear, oh no, it's not me, because I would never ask you to do something like that. Whose voice are you going to listen to? Whose voice? You know, I think the grocery store is a great place to be a blessing to others. I think when you're walking through the store and you see someone and you just say hello, it's amazing what happens. Their countenance can change with a hello. When you go in the gas station, you know, I often get the gas station attendant or wherever I am, because I often say when I'm done with them, I say, have a most excellent day. It's a Bill and Ted Wild Adventure kind of thing. But I say, have a most excellent day. And they look at me and they smile. They go, oh yeah, a most excellent day. You know, and they love it. I say that, hey, I tell people all the time, hey, be good. I don't just say goodbye, I say, hey, be good. Oh, yeah, that's me, yeah. I have some of my disc golf guys that are out there, they don't like it when I say be good. They like to be bad. Oh, I just think there's so many opportunities for us to just be excited about what God's doing. The transformation that God's making in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 in the New Living Translation says this. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. God is excited. God, it brings glory to God when you say amen or yes to the promises of God. Every promise in the word of God is yes and amen from through Jesus. And when you come to Jesus and you're walking with Christ and you discover a promise in the word of God and you say to that promise, yes and amen, it ascends to heaven, which brings glory to God. And I don't know about you, but I like it when we give glory to God, and so does he. Amen? When we're able to give glory to God because we say, yes, Lord. Yes, your word is true. Yes, I will do that. Instead of us listening to the lies, to the father of lies, let's make Satan listen to our praises to God for his promises. In Psalms 8, verse 9 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Psalms 9, 1 and 2 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. Psalms 150, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The sick, the oppressed, the sinful, all have breath. In other words, it does not matter what situation we find ourselves in, we need to praise him because we have a promise from God himself. Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Paul said in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. God cares for you. Every Christian, while going through whatever, has a thousand times more to be happy over than the most cheerful sinner in perfect health. You and I have more to be happy about than anyone else. Even in our worst state. What did someone say a few funerals ago that I told you guys? Let me see if I remember. Memory bank. For the believer, this is the worst it'll ever be right here on earth. This is as bad as it gets. For the unbeliever, this is as good as it gets. Whoa! We have stuff to be praising God about. This, oh man, can we get excited about what God is doing? Why? Because we have this marvelous eternity ahead of us. We have these wonderful blessings and promises right now that are yes and amen. To everyone that we say through Christ, yes, Lord, I believe this promise is for me. What promises do you need to get from God? For me, I need all of them. Praise God, because faith without works is dead. And these are my works. I will praise him. I will rise in the morning and praise my God all day long because this is the work that he's given me to do. You want to know what God's will for your life is? Praise him. That's his will. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what the will of God is? The will of God is to give thanks. To be annoying to people to the point that they go, they don't even want to tell you something because you're just going to go, praise the Lord. All the time. They come up to you and they say, you know, I just found a dollar out in the parking lot. Praise the Lord. You know, it's such a beautiful day today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You just walk around all the time. People walk up to you and go, and they go, hi, how are you? My name is so-and-so. My name is Tim. Praise the Lord. And they look at you and go, praise the Lord. Well, do you ever say anything but praise the Lord? I try not to. Praise the Lord. I mean, we should be so, look at Dorothy's thinking this is funny now. But we should be. Shouldn't we be so, This is the will of God. I'm trying to discover the will of God for my life for how many years? And the will of God for all of us. We're always trying to, what is God's will for my life? Well, let's start out with something simple, because this is simple. Praise the Lord. It's the will of God. It's what He's asked you to do. Faith without works is dead. I will praise Him because it's His will. I will praise Him because this is the job He's given me. His job for me is to praise Him. In fact, He says, if you won't do your job, I'll have the very rocks cry out if you won't do your job. Because your job is to just praise me. Can you do that? Can you get up every morning and say, praise the Lord? Can you walk down the street and say, praise the Lord? I give you glory, God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say it? Can you say, praise God? Every day, every day, every moment of every day, when someone says something to you, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. Well, you praise God a lot. Yes, I do. He's worthy to be praised. God's will for you and me is to praise Him out loud. Since everything that has breath is commanded to praise the Lord, the only scriptural excuse for not praising Him is to be out of breath. I think I'm getting a little excited up here. I may be out of breath in a minute, but I ain't out of breath. As long as I got a breath, I can praise Him. I don't care what the doctor's report is. I can praise Him. I don't care what my financial situation is. I can praise Him. Because He's worthy to be praised. I don't praise Him. He is worthy to be praised. I have breath. I'm breathing. If I'm breathing, then I can praise Him. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Oh, you mean sometimes God realizes it's a sacrifice? There are moments when you get up in the morning or you're going through a hard day and you decide, this is, God, I'm going to have to give you the sacrifice of praise today because I don't know why I'm praising except You're worthy of praise. My life doesn't manifest itself in a place where I can be praising You, but God, I know You working through me can change and transform things in my life. So I give You praise because of who You are and not what I'm going through. Is it a sacrifice? Yes, sometimes. Sometimes it's easy to praise Him because everything's going great, but sometimes it's a sacrifice of praise. And He says, give it to Him. Let the fruit of your lips be a sacrifice of praise to Him. Let your lips continue to give forth praise unto God. Psalms 63:3 says, because of Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. We praise Him because Psalms 92:1 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praise to Your name, O Most High. Psalms 30:4 says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. If all you can do is give thanks because His name is holy, give thanks. Praise Him because to withhold praise will show either unbelief or ingratitude. Praise Him because we believe in Him. Praise Him because we are grateful to Him. To not praise Him, there's no excuse. You either don't believe in Him, why are we doubting Him? Praise Him because Psalms 33:1 tells us this. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise Him. The Message puts it this way, and I like the Message here. It says, good people cheer God! Exclamation point. Good people cheer God. Right living people sound best when praising. Woo! When we are right with God, we sound best when we're praising. When we're praising Him. Use guitars to reinforce your hallelujahs. Come on, David. Where's David? Use guitars to praise your, to increase, to lift up your hallelujahs. Play His praise on a grand piano. Invent your own new song to Him. Give Him a trumpet. Woo! We should be excited. When you're in the shower, make up a song. Woo! I will praise you. Make up a song. Oh, make up songs to the Lord. Make up things that just give Him glory and give Him honor. Give Him praise. Patrick, if you haven't been watching, Patrick's been making videos and putting them on YouTube. Singing praise. Giving thanks to the Lord. Putting pictures in there, making his own music videos. Hallelujah! Give glory to God. Sing praises. Make up songs. I don't know the song we're singing this morning, Pastor. It's okay. Make up your own. It's scriptural. You don't know the song? Just start praising Him. Because He's worthy of praise. Just start lifting your hands and saying, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your wonderful work in my life. Just begin to praise Him. According to Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 36, Paul and Silas sang praises at midnight with their backs bleeding and their feet in stocks. And God sang the bass line for them with an earthquake that shook the prison so great that every captive ran free. Except Paul and Silas. The jailer came to kill himself, and Paul and Silas says, don't do that, we're right here. The jailer and all his household got saved and baptized. And then the next day, the keeper of the prison reported to these words to Paul, saying, the magistrate have sent to let you go. Therefore, depart in peace. God shook the prison. All the captives ran free. Paul and Silas, sitting with no restraints on them at all, stayed, led the guy to Jesus and his whole family. And then the magistrate said, hey, let's let them go. Let's get them out of here. These guys are disturbing our jail. And they let him go. See, real faith rejoices in the promise of God as if it saw its deliverance and was enjoying it. We should be enjoying heaven now. We should be enjoying the thought of heaven now as though we were already there. Because it is our home and it is the place where we will soon go. We should be rejoicing that God has delivered us from all of our enemies. We should be rejoicing because God has delivered us from all of our enemies, even if our enemies don't know it yet. God knows it, and so do we, because we have His promise. What are you going through right now? What afflicts your life? What possesses you? What is messing you up day in and day out? Praise God, because there's a promise that delivers you, and you are delivered by the power of God. So praise Him for it. Believe as though you have your deliverance, and you see it there. You're living out your deliverance right now. Begin to sing His praises. Faith does not wait for walls to fall down. Faith shouts them down. Make Satan listen to your praise. And he will flee. Make Satan listen to your praise, and he will flee. You know, I have that picture. Where's Dave? Can we go to that picture real quick? Oh, Sherry must have had an idea. Can we? Yeah, there it is, right there. Thanks, Patrick. Do you ever look like that when you're praising God? I mean, look at that picture of that guy. Look at him. Do you ever look like that? I mean, that kid is just, he don't even care if he's on key. That kid is just singing. I mean, is there any doubt in your mind that that kid is just belting out a tune? He's into what he's doing. Do we praise him like that? Where we look that goofy? Or are we dignified? Do we praise him? Because he likes it when we do. Psalms 100, I'll close with this. Psalms 100, verse 1 and 2 says, "Make a joyful noise, or make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." You know, oftentimes people say, "Well, you know, Pastor, God's not dead." And you know what I like to tell him? He's not nervous either. You're hollering and hooping and yelling is not going to bother him. He is not going to be bothered at all if you're just a little too loud. Do your neighbors know you praise God? Are you so loud sometimes just praising him? Listen. Do people pull up next to you when you're driving down the road and look in your car and go, "What is that person doing?" Because you got the praise music turned up so loud and you're just praising him at the top of your lungs because you're alone in the car with the AC running and you're just screaming at the top of your lungs, "Praise God!" And the guy sitting next to you is looking over at you at the stoplight going, "Wow. Does anybody in your praise look at you and go, "Wow"? And not that we need the testimony of men, but can anybody tell, especially Satan, that you're praising him so loud and so hard and so often that the enemy just doesn't want to be around you? Have you ever thought that those people that get offended by you praising God so much might not be the greatest influence in your life? Does that ever cross your mind? They say, "Oh, you're constantly praising God." You know, I had a guy, a young kid, he reads all my posts on Facebook. He told me the other day, he said, "You know, I read your posts all the time, but they're always about Jesus." And I thought to myself, "Yeah. Well, okay." I'm like, "Yeah." But he says, "You know," he said he really liked the one where I put that picture on there where it says, "Jesus take the wheel," with the kid, you know, on the little thing and the hair going back and freaked out. Did anybody see that? That was, if you didn't see it, you have to go back in my pictures because that is a hilarious picture. And the kid told me I laughed so hard. And this kid doesn't believe in Jesus. But if he keeps reading my post, he'll gonna believe in Jesus one day. Every day, we just got to praise him. Every day, you just got to get up in the morning and just praise him till you annoy people. Till the people around you just go, "Man, why are you always praising the Lord?" Well, because he's worthy of praise. You just say, "Praise the Lord" all the time. You make me a little nervous because you say, "Praise the Lord" all the time. Well, he's worthy of praise. A little praise every day keeps the devil away. Just remember that. The more you praise him, the less the devil wants to hang out with you too. I mean, if you think about it, the more I praise God, the less the devil wants to hang out with me. That's a good thing to have. To be so excited every day to get up and just praise God because you know it's just gonna freak the devil out and he's just gonna leave you alone. He'll go bother somebody else. Why? Because you're just praising him. No matter what the devil throws at you, you just praise God. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. I thank you for my deliverance, God. I thank you that every promise is yes and amen. And I want them all, God. Just reveal all the promises that you've ever made right here in my life. I want them all, God. I say yes and amen to every promise that's in them. Well, you know, Pastor, I just don't know if that whole thing in Deuteronomy is all for us. Okay, I'm going to take it. Jesus paid for all the curses. I'll take, and he paid for all the promises. I'll take all the promises. Amen. I'll take them. Amen. They're mine. Everyone in Proverbs, everyone in Psalms, I'll take all the promises. Thank you very much. Everyone through Matthew, John, Luke, Mark, all the New Testament, I'll take all the promises. Thank you very much. Yes and amen. I'll take them and I'll praise them for them. I'm thanking them for them. I'm thanking them as though they've already manifested themselves in my life because they're already paid for. I don't owe a debt on any of those promises. I don't owe anything to get those promises. They're all paid for. There's no past due notice. No one's holding anything back. There's no deed of trust to any promise of God that's being withheld from me. Everything's been paid off. I just got to live it. I just got to love it. I just got to praise it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing. Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for your wonderful promises, for your gift to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the debts for all of our sins, for making every promise a yes through Christ. And God, we receive those promises today, God. We just begin to let them move into our lives. Supernaturally, as we study the Bible, bring us to these promises, God, so that when we discover them, we say, yes, amen. And we begin to thank you and praise you for it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, slip up your hand because this is where it starts, knowing him, operating through Christ and through the blood of Jesus. So if you don't know him, slip up your hand and we'll pray for you. Amen. Amen. Lord, I pray for everyone in this place. Let us not leave this place without the compelling desire to just say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And raise our hands in praise and glory to you. Father, let us shout it out. Let people know as we go from this place, God, that you are our Lord and that we're going to thank God and we're going to praise you day in and day out. Every day we're going to get up because this is your will for our lives, is to praise you in everything. We give you praise.